This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The Art of Receiving Feedback Gracefully. A practical guide to turning hard feedback into real professional growth. In short, after reading this, you will know exactly how to hear difficult feedback, manage your reaction, and respond in a way that builds your credibility rather than damaging it. Pause before you respond. Your first instinct is rarely your best one. Ask one clarifying question to show you're genuinely engaged. Follow through on what you commit to. That is where trust is built or lost. Definition: receiving feedback gracefully means hearing criticism or input from others without becoming defensive, reactive, or dismissive. It is a discipline of staying composed, processing what you have heard with honesty, and choosing a response that serves your growth rather than your ego. Someone tells you your presentation missed the mark. You feel the heat rise in your chest. You want to explain, to defend yourself, to point out what they did not understand. Instead, you say something clipped and walk away. Later, you replay the moment and wish you had handled it differently. Most of us have been there. Receiving feedback gracefully is one of the hardest communication skills in any workplace, not because people lack intelligence, but because no one ever gave them a real process. When criticism arrives, it triggers something deep. The body reads it as a threat. The mind scrambles for protection. Without a clear framework, most people default to defensiveness, deflection, or silence. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for receiving feedback gracefully that you can use immediately, whether the feedback comes from your manager, a peer, or someone you lead. If you're also thinking about how to improve feedback conversations from the other side of the table, how to give constructive feedback without causing tension is a useful companion piece. Why feedback skills are harder to use than to understand. You already know feedback is valuable. That is not the problem. The problem is the gap between knowing something is good for you and actually being able to do it in the moment when your pulse is up and your instincts are telling you to fight or flee. Here is what makes this genuinely difficult. It feels personal even when it is not. Feedback about your work lands in the body like feedback about your worth as a person. That is a hardwiring problem, not a character flaw. And it does not disappear just because you know better. The timing is almost always wrong. Feedback rarely arrives when you're relaxed and ready. It comes in the middle of a busy day, after a stressful week, or in front of people you're trying to impress. You have almost no runway to prepare. No one modelled it well. If you grew up in environments where criticism was delivered harshly or avoided entirely, you never saw what graceful reception looks like in practice. You cannot mirror what you have never witnessed. The urge to explain is overwhelming. When someone identifies a gap, the brain immediately starts generating justifications. Staying quiet long enough to actually hear the feedback requires strength most people have not practiced. You are not sure what to do with it after. Even when people manage to stay composed in the moment, they often freeze afterward. No system, no follow-up. The feedback fades and nothing changes. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, your intention going in. Ask yourself honestly, do you want to grow? Or do you want to be seen as someone who handles feedback well? These are different goals. The first leads to real change. The second leads to performance. You need to decide before the conversation starts, because the moment feedback arrives, your intention will determine everything about how you respond. Number two, your baseline composure. You cannot receive feedback gracefully if you are already running hot. If you know a difficult conversation is coming, build in a few minutes beforehand to settle yourself. A short walk, a few slow breaths, a moment of quiet. This is not soft advice. It is practical preparation for a high-stakes moment. Composure is not a personality trait. It is a condition you can actively create. Number three, a basic script for the unexpected. Feedback often arrives without warning. Having even a simple phrase ready, something like thank you, can I ask you a bit more about what you noticed, gives you a bridge between the shock of hearing criticism and the composure you need to respond well. Prepare this before you need it. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Absorb without responding. This step is about creating space between the stimulus and your response, and it is where most people lose the plot. When feedback lands, Your body moves faster than your mind. The heat, the tightening, the urge to speak, those are physical reactions, not rational decisions. Your only job in the first few seconds is to let the feedback arrive without pushing it away. Breathe once, slowly, before you say a single word. Make eye contact and nod slowly to signal that you are present and listening. Keep your hands relaxed. Crossed arms, clenched fists, and leaning back all send signals you do not mean to send. Let the person finish their full thought before you form any response. Do not fill silence with nervous speech. Silence is a sign of respect, not weakness. Example: your manager tells you that your report lacked the detail the senior team needed and that it reflected poorly in the meeting. Your instinct is to say, "I only had 3 days to prepare it." Instead, you breathe, you nod, and you say nothing yet. You hold the pause. That pause is doing more work than any explanation would. The discipline of absorbing without responding is the foundation of everything else. When you master this step, the rest of the process becomes possible. Step 2. Acknowledge what you heard. Before you respond to the content of the feedback, show the other person that you actually received it. This is not the same as agreeing. Acknowledgement is not agreement, it is confirmation. It tells the other person that their message arrived, that you did not deflect it, and that you took it seriously enough to reflect it back. Without this step, most feedback conversations stall because the person giving the feedback is not sure their message got through. Paraphrase what you heard in your own words. So what you're saying is that the level of detail was not sufficient for what the senior team needed. Keep your tone neutral. You are summarizing, not debating. Do not add qualifications or buts to your paraphrase. Those are defenses dressed up as acknowledgements. Finish your paraphrase with a short check. Is that right? This invites the other person to correct any misunderstanding before you go further. Once the person confirms you understood them, the emotional temperature in the room drops noticeably. They feel heard. You've bought yourself the time and the calm you need to respond thoughtfully. This is a small thing that makes an enormous difference. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imanblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Ask one clarifying question. This step is where you move from receiving to engaging, and it signals something important about your character. A clarifying question shows that you are not just tolerating the feedback, but actually trying to understand it well enough to act on it. It shifts the dynamic from a one-way delivery to a real conversation. One good question does more for your credibility than 5 minutes of composed silence. Choose a question that seeks understanding, not justification. What would a stronger version of that report have looked like? Not "did you see how little time I had?" Keep it specific to what you just heard. Vague questions like "what do you mean?" signal confusion rather than curiosity. Ask only one question. More than one can feel like an interrogation. Listen to the answer with the same care you brought to step one. This is not the moment to start planning your defense. If the answer raises another useful question, you can ask it, but only after you have genuinely processed the first answer. Example: after acknowledging your manager's feedback on the report, you ask, "when you say more detail, are you thinking about the financial breakdown, the methodology, or both?" Your manager says, "mostly the financial breakdown. The senior team makes decisions based on those numbers." Now you know exactly what to fix. One question. Specific, actionable, and clear. After this step, you have something concrete to work with. That is the point. Step 4. Reflect before you commit. This step is often skipped, and skipping it is how people end up either overpromising or underresponding. Before you tell someone what you will do with their feedback, you need a moment to decide honestly whether you agree with it, whether you can act on it, and what a realistic commitment looks like. This is not avoidance. It is responsibility. Give yourself permission to say, "thank you for this. I need a little time to think through what the right next step looks like." Do not commit to more than you can deliver. A vague "I will work on it" is worse than no commitment at all. Consider whether you need input from anyone else before you decide on a course of action. Write the feedback down as soon as the conversation ends, while the details are still clear. Memory softens feedback in ways that are not always helpful. Notice your emotional reaction in the hours after the conversation. Strong feelings often signal that the feedback touched something real. The goal of this step is to arrive at a response that is honest and specific, not just polite. Taking the time to reflect before you commit protects both your credibility and the quality of your follow-through. Step 5. Respond with clarity and commitment. This is where you close the loop, and it is the step that determines whether the feedback actually changes anything. Your response does not need to be long. It needs to be clear, specific, and credible. Vague responses erode trust, specific ones build it. When you tell someone exactly what you plan to do and by when, you signal that you took them seriously. Use a simple structure: what you heard, what you're going to do, and when they can expect to see it. If you disagree with part of the feedback, you can say so respectfully, once, briefly, and then move forward. Prolonged disagreement undermines the goodwill you built in the earlier steps. Thank the person again at the end. Not performatively, but genuinely. Giving feedback is not easy either. Send a brief follow-up note after the conversation if the feedback was significant. This reinforces your commitment and creates a record of the conversation. Keep your commitment. This is not just good manners. It is the difference between being someone people trust and someone people stop bothering to give feedback to. Example: 2 days after the report conversation, you send a short message. I have revised the financial breakdown section to include the level of detail the senior team needs. I wanted to let you know, and I appreciate you flagging it. That is it. Simple, specific, done. That is what receiving feedback gracefully looks like when it is complete. Step 6. Follow through and close the loop. The conversation is not the finish line. What you do after it determines whether the feedback had any real impact. Most people handle the moment reasonably well and then let the feedback drift. They mean to act on it. They just never quite do. This is where the trust built in earlier steps gets quietly undone, not through conflict, but through inaction. Set a specific deadline for acting on the feedback, even if only for yourself. Tell the person who gave the feedback what you did, in brief. This closes the loop and reinforces the value of their effort. Check in with them after a reasonable period to ask whether they have seen the change they were looking for. If you realize you cannot fully act on the feedback, be honest about why. Transparency about limitations is far better than silence. Track your own pattern. Are you receiving the same feedback repeatedly? That is a signal that something in your approach needs deeper attention. Following through is where receiving feedback gracefully becomes a practice, not just a technique. It is also where the compounding benefits begin. The people around you start speaking up earlier, more clearly, and with less hesitation, because they know it will lead somewhere. Adapting this process for high stakes or public feedback. Some feedback arrives in low pressure, private settings, but some of it lands in the middle of a meeting, in front of a team, or from someone whose opinion carries significant weight in your organization. That context changes almost everything about how you need to apply this process. Prioritize composure above all else. In a public setting, your reaction is visible to everyone in the room. If you visibly tense, argue, or shut down, that moment becomes the story, not the feedback itself. Your composure is not just for you. It is a signal to everyone watching about how this kind of exchange works in your environment. Shorten your visible response. In a private conversation, taking time to reflect and ask clarifying questions feels natural. In a group setting, extended reflection can look like avoidance. Keep your acknowledgement brief and your clarifying question precise. Say, "That is useful to hear. Let me think on it and come back to you directly." Then do exactly that. Separate the moment from the conversation. The public moment is rarely the right place to fully process feedback. Acknowledge it with composure. Commit to following up, and then have the real conversation one-to-one afterward. Trying to work through complex feedback in a group setting often creates more friction than it resolves. Watch your nonverbal signals closely. In a high-stakes setting, your body language says more than your words. Maintain open posture. Keep your tone even and avoid sighing or looking away. Small signals read as large statements when others are watching. The core process does not change in high-stakes settings. What changes is the economy of it: fewer words, tighter control, and a deliberate commitment to follow up in private. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: saying thank you for the feedback and never acting on it. Why it happens. People want to appear receptive without having to change anything. What to do instead? Commit to one specific action before the conversation ends, even a small one, and follow through on it. The mistake: immediately explaining the context or reasons behind the behaviour being criticised. Why it happens. It feels like fairness to provide context. It reads as defensiveness. What to do instead? Acknowledge the feedback first. Context can follow, briefly, once you have shown you genuinely heard what was said. The mistake. Agreeing enthusiastically in the moment to avoid discomfort, then quietly doing nothing. Why it happens. The pressure of the moment makes agreement feel easier than honest engagement. What to do instead? Only commit to what you genuinely intend to do. A modest, honest commitment is worth more than an enthusiastic one you will not keep. The mistake. Ruminating for days after receiving criticism rather than acting on it. Why it happens. The emotional weight of feedback can make it hard to move from feeling to action. What to do instead? Write down the key point within an hour of the conversation. Decide on one action before the end of the day. Movement is the antidote to rumination. The mistake. Treating every piece of feedback as equally valid and equally urgent. Why it happens. It feels safer to absorb all feedback than to evaluate it critically. What to do instead? Reflect on the source, the pattern, and the relevance. Not all feedback deserves the same response. Trust your own judgment too. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each feedback conversation. I have identified my intention. Am I here to grow or to be receptive? I have taken a moment to settle my composure before the conversation. I have a short bridging phrase ready if feedback arrives unexpectedly. I listened to the full feedback without interrupting or forming a defense. I paraphrased what I heard and checked that I understood correctly. I asked one specific clarifying question about what improvement looks like. I resisted the urge to immediately justify or explain my behavior. I gave myself time to reflect before making any specific commitments. I responded with a clear, specific action and a realistic time frame. I sent a brief follow-up to close the loop after acting on the feedback. I reviewed whether I'm receiving the same feedback repeatedly. I thanked the person genuinely, not performatively. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a real process for receiving feedback gracefully, not just good intentions. You can enter a feedback conversation with a method, and you can leave it with your credibility stronger than when you walked in. Absorb before you respond. That pause is more powerful than any explanation. Acknowledge what you heard before you engage with whether you agree. One good clarifying question signals more strength than 5 minutes of defense. Reflect honestly before you commit. Modest, specific commitments are worth more than enthusiastic ones you will not keep. Follow through. That is where trust is built or lost. Adapt the process to context, shorter and more composed in public, fuller in private. Receiving feedback gracefully is a practice you build over time, not a single performance. If you want to deepen your understanding of how feedback works as a system, how feedback loops boost team synergy will show you the broader context. If you want a structured approach to the other side of the conversation, how to use the SPY method to give team members feedback that unifies instead of divides is worth your time. And if you want a method for working through difficult feedback with a growth focus, how to receive feedback without getting defensive, the GROW method explained will take you further. Receiving feedback gracefully is one of the most powerful things you can do for your career, your relationships, and your own growth. Learn it properly, and the people around you will not stop giving it. Frequently asked questions. What is receiving feedback gracefully in the workplace? Receiving feedback gracefully means hearing criticism or input from others without becoming defensive, dismissive, or reactive. It involves staying composed, asking clarifying questions, and committing to act on what you have heard. It is a skill you build through deliberate practice, not a personality trait you either have or do not. How do you receive feedback gracefully without getting defensive? The key is to pause before you respond. Take a breath, listen fully, and resist the urge to explain or justify immediately. Ask one clarifying question to show you're engaged, then reflect before you reply. Defensiveness shrinks when curiosity takes its place. Why is receiving feedback gracefully so difficult for most people? Most people experience feedback as a threat to their identity, not information about their behavior. The brain reacts to criticism much the same way it reacts to physical danger. Without a clear process for managing that reaction, people default to defensiveness, withdrawal, or denial. What should you say when receiving feedback gracefully at work? Start by thanking the person for their input, even if the feedback stings. Then ask a specific question. What would improvement look like to you? This shifts the conversation from judgment to direction and signals that you're serious about growth, not just managing the moment. How does receiving feedback gracefully improve team communication? When you receive feedback well, you signal to your team that honest dialogue is safe. That safety encourages others to speak up earlier, before problems grow. Over time, a team that gives and receives feedback well builds stronger trust. You can read more about this dynamic in How to Give Feedback That Strengthens Team Synergy Instead of Breaking It. Can receiving feedback gracefully be learned, or is it a natural ability? It is entirely a learned skill. I have watched people who are chronically defensive become some of the most receptive communicators in their organizations once they had a clear framework and enough practice. For a structured approach to that development, explore how to use the GROW method to turn team feedback into a synergy improvement plan. It takes courage to start, but the method is clear once you have it. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.